Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
When I was a kid, there was a show called Dragnet. How many of y'all remember Dragnet? Okay. I just linked myself up with all those people that raise their hand. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, no, that was a great show. You can get online and watch some of them. But you know, they have the show Cops now where they show real life stories of people being, you know, detectives working, and there's so many detective shows out there. Dragnet was probably the first one. Christmas of 1967, I was 7 years old, and they had a Dragnet about the nativity scene in a church, and they had a baby Jesus in the creche, in the manger, and the pastor came on Christmas Day and noticed that the baby Jesus was gone. And the whole Dragnet show, by the way, they had all this music, dun da dun, dun da dun da dun, you know, they had all that music, and this guy would go, see, I wrote some of it down. What did he say? He said, "My partner Smith, Frank Smith, my name is Friday." That's the way, his name was Joe Friday. That was the way he did it. But anyway, so it shows you where we've come as a culture. They made a show about the baby Jesus was missing in a nativity. I mean, you know, that was a big deal, evidently. And so they had called Joe Friday, who worked out of the burglary division, and he went and they investigated. They interviewed all these people around the church, and have you seen baby Jesus and everything? And so one day, right after Christmas, the pastor and Friday and them, they peeked outside and they saw a little boy walking around the block with a red wagon. And the baby Jesus was in that wagon. So they went out there and they said, "Hey, kid, hey, boy, come here." And so the boy came inside. And when he walked inside, they said, and he came with a wagon and the baby Jesus and everything. And he came inside and they said, "Hey, I notice you've got baby Jesus there." He said, "Oh, yes, sir. Yes, pastor." He said, "Well, go ahead and tell me the story of why baby Jesus is not in the manger, but is in your wagon." He said, "Well, before Christmas, I talked to the Lord. I said, 'Jesus, if you give me a red wagon for Christmas, I'm going to take you on the very first ride.'" And so he had gotten that baby Jesus out and taken it for a ride. He anticipated what was going to happen if he could get that wagon. And he ended up following through and giving Jesus his ride. We have anticipated this day. All history anticipated the day. And I want us to look at one verse of scripture in Isaiah, the 9th chapter. So if you'll open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This was written about 700 BC, and it anticipates the coming of the Lord. We see in this passage of Scripture three things about the purpose of Christmas. Because today in the manger, you know, we have kind of, sometimes at Christmas you look at the innkeeper, sometimes you look at Herod. These are figures of that period that are a little bit farther away. But to this Christmas, we kind of came closer into the manger scene. Now, we, and of course, we we talked about this earlier. We know the wise men really came to see Jesus a year or two after he was born. But most manger scenes put him there because it revolves around the birth of Christ. And so in our manger scene, we actually have wise men. When Jesus was first born, the wise men were not there, but there are great lessons from it. But you see, in our study, it all focuses down to this day. It really worked out perfectly in the schedule, the calendar, for this being Christmas Day. Because today, we want to talk about Jesus, the purpose of Christmas. And so, as we think about that, there are three things I want you to write down on your listening guide and us to talk about. And we get those from this scripture. The first thing is this: Jesus was God's sign. Jesus is God's gift to man. God takes the initiative with man. Now, I told you we were only going to read one verse, but I do want you to go back to chapter 7 of Isaiah and verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. He will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." We just sang about it so beautifully. Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus was God's sign. He was God's gift to man. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah wrote these words, and it was in anticipation. And it was a demonstration of God's love. You know, in John 3:16, the most known verse of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Notice the beginning of that verse starts with "for God." That's always impacted me, and I want it to impact us. God initiated his love. God has always been the initiator. He's always proved his love. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was God's sign to the world: "I have not given up on you. I am going to make a way for you to know me." And he initiates his love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were sinners, while we were not even thinking about God or knowing him, he proved his love toward us by dying on the cross. God's pattern has been to initiate. I just want us to get this in this one point today. Christmas is the answer you've been looking for if you've ever asked the question, "Does God really love me?" Because God has always been the initiator. Think about it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He initiated forgiveness to Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden. He initiated for Noah to build that ark to save he and his family. He initiated the covenant with Abraham. He said, "I want you to leave where you are and go, and you shall be a great nation. And your descendants will be as the sand of the seashore." The prophets in the Old Testament were God's way of getting the attention. It's like every time we have messed up, every time we have turned our back on God, he keeps coming back. He keeps initiating. Jesus, the purpose of Christmas, was God's sign. God's sign to you that he loves you. He's initiating his love to you. And can I say this? I was thinking about what a great Christmas this is for some folks that are in our fellowship and maybe some of our guests today. This may be your very first Christmas as a believer in Jesus Christ. What an amazing Christmas this must be. It ought to be that way for all of us. Because if you know Jesus in a personal way, you realize that it really was not of your doing. God did it. God made salvation possible for you and for me. I told you our very first week that story that Kelly's dad used to tell us And I was thinking, it's been, Kelly and I have been married 34 years, be 35 years next year. Can't believe it. I still feel like a college kid at North Central. And yet the years just keep stacking up. But he used to tell us that story about that winter where that bird, you ever have a bird? We've had a bird in here before get trapped in here. It's not fun to watch a bird get trapped. Well, it was so cold, this bird kept hitting the window of a house trying to get in. It would see light in there, and it would see warmth in there. It kept trying to get in, and this man went out, tried to do everything it could do, everything he could do to get that bird inside. And he just couldn't do it. Then he thought to himself, he said, you know, if I could just become a bird, I could go out there and tell him, hey, it's okay. Come on in. And he thought about that at Christmas time, that's exactly what God did. God became a man. So we could identify with him. We could see that baby born in a manger. We could realize he lived his life. And Jesus Christ was the infinite God-man. He was all God, but you know what? He was all man. And the Bible says he endured the temptations. Listen, the older I have gotten in life, the more I've realized that there's a part of life that you don't think about as much when you're younger, and it's loss. There's loss. There's heartache. There's difficulty. Jesus experienced the hardships that we have experienced. He has experienced the temptations. But God did that. He made him a man to initiate to us, for us to know he was God's sign. That's the first thing that the scripture tells us. Because this prophecy we're reading is Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And Isaiah was saying, I don't want to get into all the history of it, but he was saying to Judah, Judah had come under tyranny, under Assyria, and he was saying to them, look, I want you to know I have not forgotten about you. It was God's sign, okay? Number two, Jesus, the purpose of Christmas, was God's sacrifice. Jesus is the infinite God-man. Jesus left heaven's glory to die for us. Now, it says in our scripture, for unto us a child is born. That's showing the humanity of Christ. Then it says, unto us a son. Notice in your version, son is capitalized. A son, the Son of God, is given. The word son highlights his deity. He is the infinite God-man. It was prophesied that Jesus would be born. In Matthew 1:16, the scripture says this, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. And so we see that prophecy fulfilled. In Philippians chapter 2, there's a scripture about Jesus leaving heaven's glory. And it talks about, it says this, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christmas is about Jesus being born in that manger, but Christmas is more than that, because Jesus came not just to be a sign, but he came to be a sacrifice for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's not forget about the cross, church, right? Let's not forget about the cross. I never forget hearing about Billy Graham and his great crusades. And he was preaching at a time, and there were not any decisions being made, and there had been some prior. And a colleague said to him, and some praying people said to him, Dr. Graham, you're not preaching on the cross. And Dr. Graham said, well, I'm going to make sure that I preach on the cross. And I don't know if you noticed this when we had the My Hope campaign, the videos that recently were done, but the whole thing was about the cross. It has been central in Dr. Graham's messages from that time. And can I say this? Infinitely more than it just being Dr. Graham's message, it ought to be our message, right? The message of the cross, because it is that message of the cross that saves. So, Jesus was God's sign. Never mistaken it. Never forget it, that God has initiated his love to you. Jesus was God's sacrifice. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He died on a cruel cross for your sins. I remember hearing this illustration that helped me understand it. If you imagine that this hand represents my life, there's my life right there. What is it that separates me from God? Well, it's my sin. Just imagine all the sins I'd ever committed right there. God's in heaven, here's me, and sin is between us. Here's what Jesus did. Here's Jesus' life. He came out of heaven, but he didn't have sin on him. He lived a perfect life, and the Bible says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And so because of what Christ did, my sin has been forgiven. If I will put my faith and trust in Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, all of the sins of Calvin Carr were laid upon Jesus on that cross. And so I can know him in a special way. So he was God's sign, he was God's sacrifice, and then the last thing is he was God's salvation. Jesus brings reconciliation. And in italics there in your listening guide, it just says this, our greatest needs are all met in Jesus. Now, you get all kinds of gifts sometimes at Christmas. You know, you may get duplicate gifts. By the way, I got some Christmas socks. I don't think anybody thought in my family I was going to wear them today, so I just showed them. I put them on, wore them this morning. Okay, so you get all kinds of things. You get duplicate gifts. You get gifts sometimes that don't fit. You get gifts sometimes that are loud. There's some of y'all I'd like to buy some gifts for on that. No, I'm just kidding. Does it make your life interesting? Sometimes you have gifts and you may open them. They don't work quite the way they're supposed to work, whatever. Can I say this? This gift is exactly what we need. Jesus Christ became God's salvation. And look what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And by the way, it says, and the government will be upon his shoulder, talking about the future. Jesus Christ is going to rule. There's a whole message in that little phrase. We didn't deal with it as much this morning. But, and the government will be upon his shoulder. In his coming kingdom, the Lord Jesus is going to rule over this earth. And that's where it says the lion and the lamb will lie together. You see, peace on earth doesn't come till Jesus comes in. Till Jesus comes and takes over. It says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And look at this, it says, and his name will be called Wonderful. The word wonderful is a word relating to deity. And can I say this? We needed God, ladies and gentlemen. We needed someone to break through apart from ourselves and to do for us something we could not do for ourselves. Now, you know, you heard the phrase, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You know, the idea is you take your boots and you can somehow lift yourself up. You can't do that. Okay? But there's a mentality in mankind that we can be our own boss. We can be our own guide. We can run our own lives. And we're the authority. But you know what? The longer you live, the more you realize you've got to have help from the outside. And it's not from another person. You need God to show up in your life. Well, that's what that word wonderful connotes there. It says, he shall be wonderful, a word for deity. And then counselor, and that word means to resolve. Do you know that the Bible teaches that even the creation of the world groans? Talks about this in the book of Romans. The creation groans for the coming of the Lord. In other words, as beautiful as nature is, as beautiful as it is to go to the beautiful mountains or to see the ocean or the beautiful rivers, places that you've been, as beautiful as those places are, it's almost like, well, it's like in music. You know, there are notes in music, and you get to a point, you're going up a scale, and that music has to resolve. If you leave it right there, it's dissonant. It's like it's just not there. It's got to resolve. Do you know that we have not totally resolved? And in Christ, though, it says he's the wonderful counselor. And that word counselor means it's the idea to resolve. In Christ, the questions of life are resolved. Think about the choices that you have to make. Choices about your life's work. Choices about in your relationships. How to raise your family. How to deal with disappointment. How to deal with heartache. He is the wonderful counselor. He's the one who helps us resolve the difficulties of life. And then it says this, wonderful counselor, the mighty God. That means God is a warrior. Let me say that again. God is a warrior. Listen, sin spins its web in our lives. It's like a spider web. You've seen a spider web, and a fly gets in it, and it tries to get out, and the more it fights, the more it gets caught up in it. It's like there's a phrase we used to use. You're getting caught in the tar bucket. The more you try to get out of the tar bucket, you just pull back on it, and you get more in it, and the next thing you know, you're all messed up. Well, Satan does that in our lives. He spins his hellish web to trap us and to destroy our lives, to dirty our lives, to destroy our lives. Well, this word, the mighty God, let me tell you this, folks, the only thing that's going to give you the power to overcome yourself and the devil's influence in your life, sin, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mighty God. He gives you the power to get out of that trap. And then it says he's the everlasting Father. That means an eternal protector. Not only do you have his deliverance now, but you have it for all eternity. John 10:28 says this, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He's the eternal, everlasting Father. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Congregation, you link your life with this baby in a manger, this Lord Jesus who died for you, and nothing can take you from him. That's a great promise. And then it says, he is the Prince of Peace. And that phrase means to be in safety. It means your estate is whole. Jesus Christ was the sign, he was the sacrifice, and he is your salvation. That little boy in Dragnet, dun da da, dun da dun da da, he got that wagon. I don't know if you're going to get what you wanted this year. Maybe you've already gotten it. Maybe you're going to go home and see what you got. But can I tell you this? On Christmas morning, mankind got what it needed in Jesus. We got in Christ the very gift from the creator of this universe that was exactly what we needed to change our life and to link our lives with God Almighty forever and forever and forever. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, because Christ is born, Emmanuel, God with us. Would you bow with me in prayer? Let's have prayer together.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.